Shalom. We're in Inaya, Rav Kook's commentary on the Gemara, the Agadata, in Masechet Shabbat, Daf Kaf Aleph. And we're in the second chapter, Piska Gimel. The Gemara reads as follows. Tana Rami Bar Chama, Ptilot Ushmanim, Shiamru Chachamim, In Madlikin Bahem B'Shabbat, In Madlikin Bahem B'Migdash. The same oils and wicks, which the halacha doesn't allow, says they're not kosher for use on Shabbat, as we saw last time, because the wicks either don't absorb the oil, or the oil isn't absorbed well by the wicks. And there's two problems. Sometimes the problem is with the wick, sometimes with the oil. Just like they're not kosher for candles for Shabbat, they're also not kosher in the Beit HaMikdash for the menorah. Mishum Shenemar, we learn this out from the Pasuk Lalut Ner Tamid, that the candle should be lit constantly. And the idea of a constant candle is that it doesn't flicker, that it's a stable candle. That's going to be our topic for today, stability or permanence in relationship between the body and the soul. Yeah.
So, can we conclude from this that, in fact, at least b'di'evad, one can use something other than olive oil for the menorah?
For sure. For sure. Oh, in the Beit HaMikdash?
Yeah.
In the Mikdash? Yeah. Yeah.
Really? I mean, it says Shemen Zayit.
So maybe that's lechatchila and not b'di'evad. Just like we know there is a mitzvah lechatchila to make the menorah out of gold, and the Rambam says b'di'evad, you can make it out of silver, you can make it out of other materials as well. So there's the.
That's what the Chashmonaim did.
Yeah. Hu tanila v'hu amarla. This same Rami Bar Chama, he was the one who taught that which we learned, and he is the one who explains it. Amarla k'dei shetehe shalevet ole me'ileha v'lo shetehe ola ayidei devar acher. Their doresh, they learn out, deduce from this pasuk in Shmot Kav Zayin, that the menorah is supposed to light a permanent flame. And what does it mean, a permanent flame? That the flame should be permanent from within the oil and the wick, and not need any outside artificial material to help the wick or the oil be absorbed in the wick. Rav Kook says as follows: Hamshachat haShemen achar haptila shebeshmanim shel hadlakat ner Shabbat, vaptila shetiyeh kazot she'ein haor mesachsechet ba, ta'ir od al hashlemut hamevukeshet shi tachlit haShabbat. The goal of the Shabbat, the symbolism of the Shabbat, is shlemut, is completeness. And the idea of that the oil in the Shabbos candles should be drawn to the wick, this represents that the idea is that the flame shouldn't flicker. It should be a constant flame. And this is the constance which is represented by Shabbat. Kedushat haguf u'kedushat hasechel be'ezet tzura yu mevunim. What should be the ideal relationship between the holiness of body and the holiness of the mind, and how we can make sure that that relationship remain permanent, the positive, permanent relationship. Haguf ha'av ve'agas, ve'agas seichel, megamato hi larik kos chaye atanugim hagufaniim el pihu. The body is heavy. It has a crude aspect to it, and its goal is to pour into its cup as much physical pleasure as possible, to drink from drink. Right. That the goal of the body, what does the body want? To drink from the cup of pleasure. Eina ora sichli yacholi davek bo. And that's why the light of the mind, of the intelligence, has difficulty clinging to the body, because the body and the mind, the head, and the heaviness of the body are sort of opposites. Yaskilum nam bimlachot. Sometimes the mind, the body, physical person, will use his intelligence to run the physical world, to conquer the physical world, to make a living. V'yagid gam ken divrei chochma kenoach alav haruach. And every now and then, when the spirit lies on him properly, those physical-oriented people will also use their intelligence to say good spiritual things. Occasionally. But again, what's the problem? It's not permanent. It flickers. Okay, that's the symbolism. Aval chochma lo tanuach bilvavo. But wisdom is not absorbed into their hearts. Rega tachul alav ruach chochma, mitzad ha-teva shel tzelem elokim asher bo. Every person, Jew and non-Jew, religious, non-religious, has their fleeting moments of godliness, of spirituality, of idealism, where the godly spirit will rest upon themselves and they will talk about ideals and intelligent ideas. Yatzar Hashem et ha'adam shiyah shu'ef l'chokhma v'tzedek. God created, the same God who created justice and righteousness is the same God who created the world, who created our nature. And that's why man has a conscience. And everybody, somewhere along the line, feels a need to be good. If you remember, we spoke about this when we learned Chazon HaTzimchonut, Rav Kook's vision of vegetarianism, where he writes that even the most evil people have a godly neshama, that they have to do good. And he says that you'll find even cruel people, sometimes they'll have a pet, right? Or be vegetarian, right? The classic example is Hitler, who had a menagerie and he loved animals, because they have a godly need to, which they have to get out of their system. And unfortunately, they waste it on animals or on the ecology, rather than directing it to a higher level of mankind. Okay, but everyone has that basic godly goodliness, and it flickers every now and then. Aval zeyeh karega. The problem is, it's only temporary. Ki anetia chomrit tidgaber lichabot ulakot orasechel. It's just a matter of time that you'll get hungry. Or you have to go to work, right? Or you have to go back to the physical world. Okay, the physical needs and necessities distract most people, even idealistic people who have fleeting moments, from being really spiritual on a permanent basis. Haguf shua ptila, the body, is the symbolism in the Gemara here, is represented here by the wick, she'ora sichli nechazbo, which the flame of intelligence, we've seen in the last couple of weeks, we mentioned that oil and the menorah symbolize in rabbinic literature wisdom, right? Light represents the Torah, it's enlightening, right? Even the comic strips, see a light bulb, lights up when you have an idea, okay? So the relationship between the wick and the flame is like the between the body and the soul. Tzarich shiyeh nitar ba'ofen na'ot. It has to be pure in the proper way. Shelo tiyah or mesachsechet bo ki'im kvua. That is the basic idea of Shabbat. Shabbat is completion of the body and the soul, where we eat our chunt and our meat and drink our wine and rest, physical rest. But the idea is to help us rise to a higher level of spirituality, where we don't go to work and we don't deal with internet and cell phones and cars and things that can distract us. Zoti te'udat minuchata Shabbat u'kedushato. This is the role of Shabbat in its rest and in its holiness. Again, the idea of rest is to help you rise above your physical demands and connect with Kedusha. La'irata adam ala chayim shel minucha. Minucha, in its constant form. You can't have total menucha, again in its constant form, permanent form, you need preparation. It takes a lot of time and work and effort to mishachlel, to refine the body, to know how to hold the wick, the intelligence, and the spirituality. What we're going to see in the later on, Rav Kook is going to say that's the job of the Torah. The Torah, which is likened to the flame, it is a bridge to connect the body and the soul, the wick and the flame. And that's what Shabbat is about as well. Hashemin, Hasechel, the oil, the intelligence, the mind. Tzarich gam ken shiye ba'ofen shif ala ladracha gufanit letova. We must prepare ourselves to make sure that our intelligence works on our body and our physical needs in the best way possible. That it's a positive influence. Lo kesechel mitchakmim lelo chokhmat emet. Not like the wisdom of many intelligentsia who don't have real, true wisdom. Shelamrot binatam v'chedvat zichlam. They might have a very high IQ. They might even write very good books about ideology and maybe even musar, morality. Yelchu b'shrirut libam. When it comes to practical life, they don't have a Shulchan Aruch. And they will act according to their yitzarim, to their inclinations. V'yasu kol tovat asher masher sanei. And they do those exact things which God and every moral person recoils from. Right? Everybody remembers the case of Bertrand Russell, who at first was a started out as a mathematician, and then he became a philosopher in England, Dafka, and then he moved to America, to California, obviously, where he became active in the peace movement and the anti-war movement. I think he was against even the war against the Nazis. He was against all war. He says no war is good, As the story goes, he had an affair with a co-ed, one of the young students, when the women came to the university. And it was a big scandal in those days. So they asked him, how could you preach so much about philosophy and morality and goodness, how could you cheat on your wife? To which Bertrand Russell answered, well, I was a professor of mathematics and nobody ever expected me to be a triangle. In other words, I could speak about one thing, and I could do something totally different. Right? Karl Marx, another famous example.
I think he didn't want to be a square, that main thing.
He wrote very idealistically, right? Das Kapital, Rav Kook writes in Orot HaKodesh, he talks a good game, right? It's a very, on paper, it seems like a great ideology, the idea of equality and no wars and no nations and everyone's peaceful and brotherhood. And then when his biography came out and stories about his, he had this illegitimate son named Freddy, who he wouldn't let him come through the front door. He had to go through the back door. So, like, crazy stories about, Mr. Equality and Mr. Morality. And when it comes to his day-to-day life, he was more crooked than the average person. John F. Kennedy, right, after he was assassinated, all the stories and schmutz about his immorality and his cheating on his wife, and everyone thought he was so idealistic, and he was such a good speaker, and he, we need more leaders like him. To this day, there are people, who still say that he was the greatest president, and without getting into politics, that's not our topic, but as a person, he was not a good moral person. Right? And that's what Rav Kook is saying. You can't divorce the mind from the body. The
whole
idea is that if the body is there, it should work together with the goof. Okay. Hashabbat hi hora'a hapratit. I'm sorry, we skipped a sentence. Hachochma ritzuya hameviya lacharit v'tikva. The wisdom which is desirable, which eventually will lead to that desirable goodness and hope for the world and for life. She be'emet chokhbat Yisrael. That is the wisdom of Israel. He hamadrechet et ha'adam befulotav hagufaniyot b'derech yeshara. Hashemen shenimshach achar ha'ptila. That is the beauty of the mitzvot. The mitzvot tell you what to eat, what to speak, how to dress, how to deal with your family, how to deal with your neighbors, how to deal with non-Jews, how to deal with Jews, how to deal with every topic in life to give us the right minun, the right amount, what is good, what's desirable, and what isn't good. And it really is the connecting between the wick and the oil, between the body and the soul.
Understanding this, the mashal here of the shemen, nimshach achar ha'ptila, it ought to be the opposite.
Hashabbat hi hora'ah ha'pratit, ala ha'shlama shirdof kol yachid b'Yisrael. The idea of Shabbat is for the individual to teach us what should be the goal of every individual in Israel. Notice that Rav Kook is, in this article, he's talking also about the individual and also about the nation. V'hine lifamim tiye tchunat ha'pratim sheba'uma liyot ha'tshuka chomrit pona el ha'secha v'atzedek. You will find, probably in every nation, individuals who are idealistic, that they want their physical to be drawn to justice and to wisdom. And the wisdom actually helps them in their daily life to be good people. This is regarding individuals, that yes, there are individuals who live their life properly. The problem is when it comes to the nation, all of a sudden we don't see it very practical. Right, this is an interesting idea that we've seen before in Rav Kook, that it's easier for the individual who has free will, he can control himself, to choose good, to leave bad, to, like we said, combine the body and the soul. It's that much more difficult in the masses, because the masses usually meet on the lowest common denominator and not on the common, highest common denominator. And there's even, I once wrote an article in interesting, the word in Hebrew for ish, what is the rabbim, the plural? It's not ishim, but anashim. And according to Kabbalah, and this is very clear from the Tanakh, from the Pshat, the word enosh is used as a negative term for man. Adam is stam, a person. According to Kabbalah, Aleph, he has godliness, he has his champion, Aluf, number one, he has his godliness, his Aleph, and his dam, his soul, right? A body and a soul. But parva, that's Adam. Ish is Aleph Yesh. Somebody who has his Aleph, he's in touch with his Aleph, his godliness. Enosh is Aleph Nash, somebody who's fallen from his godliness. All of the verbs which begin Nun Shin mean to fall or to leave your original place. Nashal, right, is the head of the axe flies off. Nashar is your hair falls out. Noshem is to breathe or to blow. Noshif, Noshiv. Right, the idea of the wind is to blow something, to blow the clouds from here to there, or the seeds from there to here. The idea of leaving your original place, leaving your Aleph, that's an Enosh. And that's why Chazal say that Enosh was the one who started Avodah Zarah, who started idolatry. Why do I mention this? Because Anashim is not such a positive term, right? So what happens when we move from the singular to the plural? We have a tendency to move from a ish, who can be an aleph yesh, who can be a tzaddik, it's not that difficult because you have free will, you can control your destiny. On the other hand, that ish becomes anashim. There's a tendency as soon as you become part of a group, to meet on the lowest common denominator. And that's the challenge that Rav Kook is going to say of Am Yisrael. where the nation of Israel is supposed to be different, to meet on the highest common denominator, and to bring the goodness out of the individual, not the badness out of the individual. Okay? V'chein ha-chokhma, so too regarding wisdom. Right? Till in the previous sentence, Rav Kook says, the physical pleasure, when it comes to nation, becomes much more crude. The individual can use his physical pleasure to eat in order to live, to learn Torah, to be idealistic, right? Shabbat, as we mentioned before, that's that much easier for the individual. On a national level, the national economy usually uses the money not for such positive things, right? War is something very problematic. Culture usually, unfortunately, is problematic. It's not supposed to be, but unfortunately it is.
Huh? I wonder how this interrelates with the concept of leadership and, like, dare I say it, democracy, as in the wider the democracy, the less direction there is in the masses. The masses, everyone has their own opinion and different things, and therefore it's much harder to get to a position where there's a sort of moral common denominator, a high moral, you know, a very moral common denominator, as opposed to, you know, for that you need for an individual, yet he can choose to lead himself. But he can't choose, when you have a sort of democratic society as we have, as you see, the morals have fallen greatly because there is no one person forcing them into a sort of a higher state.
And a monarchy was also bad news, right? Where the king would use the taxes and the mashabim le'umiyim for his own selfish purpose. There is, no matter what...
It was dependent on whether you had a good king or a bad king, and it could go either way all the time.
Right, but in general, unfortunately, mankind saw that the masses usually don't meet on the highest common denominator, like you said, because they don't have, there's no such thing as free will of the masses. The individual has free will. V'chein ha-chokhma b'yachas ha-uma, just like regarding the physical life and the physical drives, so too regarding wisdom. Regarding the nation, tiforak lafitz orav haskala mufshetet leman harbot kvoda v'adara ba'olam. Nations invest in their universities to win Nobel Prizes, to win prestige, to influence the world. The nations do not use their wisdom and their intelligentsia in order to fix mankind. In other words, also the physical and also the wisdom are more problematic in the national level. You'll find probably in every nation individuals who are really idealistic, and they're out for justice. Ha'ora ve'chokhma, intelligence and wisdom. Aval ha'klal, but when it comes to the nation, ha'koach ha'le'umi, mitnaseh rak be'egrof uvechizkat yad, lo yida rachem ve'lo yakir yosher, ve'chokhmato tishamesh rak lahut bitzo. When it comes to the nation, they use their brute force to force their benefit, their interests, over other nations. Lo ke'ele chelek Yaakov. This is not the portion of Israel. Kol kvodenu ha'le'umi, the whole idea of honor, national honor for the nation of Israel, hu ha'mushve im ha'kavod ha'prati, chukei Hashem, ha'chukim v'ha'mishpatim ha'tzadikim. The nation of Israel, our reason for existence, is the Torah, the mitzvot, the ideals, what Avraham Avinu was told. You go to the land of Israel, ve'eschad goy gadol, and I will make you into a great nation, you will bring blessing to all the nations of the world to teach them tzedakah u'mishpat. That's exactly why the nation of Israel was founded. Hu kvodenu neged ha'amim. And this is an honorable, that which we should be honored compared to other nations, where our nationalism, davka, enables us to implement a lot of positive things. If you remember, we spoke about altruism, right? Which according to the Ramchal, according to Kabbalah, that's the reason why God created the world, to give. Right? God is perfect. He doesn't need anything. So why did he create the world? Altruism. To give, even though he wasn't lacking anything. A nation, right? The nation of Israel today is at war, right? That's what altruism is about. Even if I live in the north, I'm going to go down to the south to help protect people. If need be, I'm going to even give my life for the sake of my neighbors. Right? The idea of even saving water, whether it be on your lawn or flushing the toilet a shorter flush or showering a little shorter in order to make sure that the nation of Israel has more water. The idea there, that national aspect could be godly. Also the fact that the nation has mashabim, has resources that the individual could never have. The nation, in the state of Israel, for example, has built more yeshivot and more mikvahs and more eruvin than any multi-billionaire could ever dream of, simply because they're a nation and the whole economic system is built differently. Right? The idea of the nation, that nationalism can bring godliness and idealism into every aspect. Right, that your army could be moral and godly, and your economy could be moral and godly, and your fashions could be moral and godly, and your movies could be moral and godly. These are things that we've seen before in Rav Kook. These are only things that nations can do. Because even if a person is a composer, he's not a movie producer. And if he's a movie producer, he's not a composer. And even if he's both, he's not a clothes designer. And even if he is also, he's not the chief of staff in the army. In other words, nations encompass every aspect of life and can and should bring godliness into every aspect of life. And in other words, the nation, Davka, the national aspect, should be able to bring the goodliness out of us in a way that no individual can. So this is the chidush of the nation of Israel. Hu kvodenu neged ha'amim, v'hima ma'amidim et chayei ha'klal tzadikim ha'torim k'chayei ha'prat. To bring the goodness out of the national aspect of life at least as much, and as we said, even more so, than the individual can. Ha'chokhma klalit ha'lu'umit k'chokhmat ha'yachid ha'prati. Regarding wisdom, national wisdom, similar to the individual wisdom. Tirdof bi'ichud li'yasher ha'drachim ha'ma'asiyim. Should look for ways to connect with the physical world. Here again, the wick. Lahakir leida lodia ulihivada. To know, to teach, and to make sure that everybody knows. Kidat Hashem amitit yasot mishpat vavat chesed vatzni alechet im Hashem. Alken, haptilot vashmanim shemu chachamim ein madlikim ben b'shabbat. That's why those wicks and those oils which are not kosher for use on Shabbat, ha'hora'a sheyesh b'matzav ha'gufani, sh'ra'ui sheyeh mitivo poneh al ha'kedusha v'atzedek, right? Those wicks and those oils which don't combine in a permanent, again, what's the idea of permanence? Not flickering, right? Everybody has their moments of greatness, but on a permanent level to connect the two. And that the intelligence and the wisdom should be connected with the physical world through physical actions and should be expressed in day-to-day life and everything that we do in the physical world. That the flame shouldn't be hovering above the wick, shouldn't be jumping, but be connected with the physical world. Lishof ruach hitchakmut b'lo totzot ma'asiyot tovot v'tzadikot. Not to be like those philosophers, those Karl Marxes, who speak philosophy and have their flickerings of wisdom, but they don't connect it to their day-to-day lives. Keshem shu tu'uda ha'prat, keni tu'udat ha'klam. Just like regarding the candles of Shabbat, so too the national candles. Ein madlikim ben b'migdash. What the Shabbat candles are for the individual, the candles in the temple represent for the nation. And that's why what's not kosher for the individual isn't kosher in the temple. Shisham, we expect the national issues, the physical and the metaphysical, to be just as connected in the national issues, just as they are by the individual. Shisham ora klal mar'e pulato gdushato.
As
long as the two ideals are divorced from each other, the physical and the spiritual ideals are divorced. Remember, Davka, we're about to celebrate Hanukkah. It's a classic example. where we spoke about this once, that if you go into a Haredi kindergarten, all they talk about in Hanukkah is the oil lasting for 8 days, and they don't mention the national miracle, the military victory. On the other hand, you go to a non-religious Chilonigan, all they talk about is the military victory, and they don't mention the spiritual aspect. But the only thing that they agree on is that they have a coalition that it's either or, right? Either you're into the physical aspect of the world, or you're into the spiritual aspect of the world. And that's exactly the problem that Rav Kook is addressing. Ki ein letzedek basis chazak v'tivi. Justice does not have such a strong physical, natural base. V'tzarich tamid sheitkayem rak al yedei siyu atzdadi. It needs to be strengthened through conscious actions, right? Justice is great to talk about. It's easy to talk about. But you need to think of laws and Torah, mitzvot, in order to know how to implement them in daily lives. Limashal, for example, Hayachreach shel chayei achivra, shmor li ve'eshmor lecha, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, right? A very common thing that I'll help you, you help me, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back. Ehov bishvil she'avucha, right? Love others so that they will love you, right? What's called ahava toaltit, or ahava hatluya bedavar, right? Love, which isn't an idealistic love, but it's a love which is beneficial. Davar ze eino matmid. This is like a wick, which is going to flicker, and then it's going to die. Flicker and die. It's not permanent.
Because when the other person doesn't have what to give you, then you aren't going to be nice to him.
Right? If the other person doesn't have what to give you, you're not going to be nice to them. The Rambam in his Perusha Mishnayot on that Mishnah Perkei Avot, the Mishnah Perkei Avot says, Avat luya b'davar, batela davar, batela ava. Right? That love which is dependent on something, as soon as that factor falls, there's no more love. Right? If the relationship between a man and a woman is just physical, the wife gets older, she's not as attractive as she used to be, so the love is going to fall. Right? If somebody who loves their nation because it's beneficial, what happens when the nation is at war? Right? So the Sudanese are going to leave. Anybody who comes to Israel just because it's good is going to leave when it's bad. That's not real love. Right? The Rambam in his commentary on the Mishnah adds a beautiful word. I don't know exactly if it's from his girsa that he had, but he says, Avak luya b'davar batel, batel ha'ava, batel, batel ha'davar, batel ha'ava. In other words, it all depends on what your love is based. If your love is based on something temporary, then that temporary thing, as soon as it leaves, obviously, the love is going to leave. But if it's a love which is based on something permanent, and that's exactly what Rav Kook is saying, that's something which can be permanent. There is such a thing as a permanent flame, as a permanent connection between the body and the soul. Ki imtzu itim rabim shelo yaspiku asmuchot halalu lachzik et hayosher hamatlipo, machar she'en lo ma'ayan tivi. Right? If love is not an ideal, but just something which you do out of benefit, it's just a matter of time before it's going to fall, because there's not a constant flow of the spring which keeps it renewing all the time. Mekor yirat Hashem, v'chayet tzedek, mo'or Torat Hashem, shebelev pnima, mekoma, im torati belibam. The Torah, as opposed to that, is constantly connected with the spring, with the Ma'ayan HaMefakeh, the flowing brook, which is constantly connected with the source. It's always rejuvenating, it's always dynamic, it's always constant, it never goes to sleep, right? That's something, that's a love, or that's an ideal, that flame is not going to flicker and go out. But it's a constant flame. And that's exactly what we're after. That's what Rav Kook is talking tonight, is about how to stay permanent where we want to be, right? To have occasional leaps of faith or leaps of spiritual highs, everybody has that. How to do it? He said, first of all, through the nation, Because when your nation, when the general atmosphere, somebody lives in a Torani Yishuv, right? The general atmosphere is going to keep you on that high, on a permanent. Even if the individual may slip a little, the general atmosphere is going to keep them up. And that's the advantage, one of the advantages in living in a Jewish state. So that's the national aspect. Also, as Rav Kook is going to say now, the Torah aspect. Because the Torah can keep you on a permanent high, and the nation can keep you on a permanent high. La'alot ner tamid, to keep the light in the Beit HaMikdash constantly lit, tzarich she'tiyeh ha'shalhevet olam me'eleha, lo ayidei davar acher. You're not supposed to add additives, artificial additives, to help the oil be absorbed in the wick. The oil has to be absorbable oil, and the wick has to be absorbing wick. In other words, both of them, the body and the soul, have to be no milchatchila, that their goal is to work together. Hatzedek ha'eloki, the godly justice, righteousness.
What would be the unacceptable additive in society, body or the individual, or the human being.
What Rav Kook is going to say is that anything which is not essential is artificial. And what is essential is the Torah. Because the Jewish neshama, Yisrael, v'oraita v'kudsha b'richu, chadehu. The Jew's soul and the Torah and God, it's all really one and the same. And that is the only thing which is really essential.
He already said it effectively. In other words, like Ravari just said, if there's love dependent on an external factor like physical beauty, which is not going to exist, so then it flickers and goes out. So that it's like there's an external factor, a physical factor, which is holding up the wick. When that factor falls away, so the wick doesn't support the oil.
So in other words, the overemphasis on aesthetics in the society would be
one example. But we gave other examples also, overstressing the economy at the expense of spirituality. Anything which is not from your essential soul, your essential godliness, that is going to be a problem unless you have an essential Torah which is going to teach you exactly how to connect the body and the soul in the most essential,
anything which is
permanent
lishma,
way. Right, it has to be lishma, it has to be for that purpose.
Be'etzem ha'teva mitzad tarat ha'guf ayidei kedushat ha'mitzvot.
The idea of the mitzvot, Rav Kook is saying it beautifully, the Torah is a bridge between the body and the soul. It's a bridge between the wick and the oil. Because what is the body? Our life is a life of actions. What is the soul? Thoughts, ideals. That's a higher idea. How can we connect the two? The Torah. That's exactly the bridge that the Torah is meant to be, which is the essential. It's not an artificial bridge. It's not avat luya b'davar. It's an essential bridge which we have inside of our soul and inside our body. Which, by the way, the goyim, it wouldn't even help them if they would observe Shabbat, or if they would try to make a nation which is based on these ideas. And if they would try to give terumot to maser, maser ksafim, and charity, and all these things, well, that would be great, but it's not essential. It's not part of them.
So what does it mean for Am Yisrael to be...
Let me just finish up. Mitzat tarat ha-neshama v'or ha-seichel ayidei shmana shel Torah. Through the oil, which symbolizes the Torah, the light. Zotia shalhevet ha'olam me'eleha. This is the flame which rises in a real way, in the essential way, not artificially. Ve'lo ha'olah ayadevar acher. Kesheyesh la'adam bifrat
ולאומה בכלל כבר קניין קבוע לקדושה וליושר אמיתי. If the individual and the nation, in other words, the individual Jew, and also the nation of Israel, has this permanent, eternal Torah, which we've been living with, and which is bringing out the best in the individual and in the nation for 3,300 years already, which is holy, which is straight, which is true, which is essential, and which really wouldn't help. It would be artificial for a non-Jew to put on tefillin. It would be an artificial for a non-Jew to rest on Shabbat. If he wants to convert, obviously he can. We all know that. If he wants to join the Jewish people 100%, then he's in, and he's one of us regarding everything. And he gets that essential Jewish soul, just like everyone else has. Nevertheless, it has to be essential, not artificial, not megamati. Einenu tzarich ezer dimyoni le'orer rucho lasor miderech ra'ah. We don't need some kind of imagination. We don't have to think of outside ideas to awaken us in to leave the way of the bad and to do good. We don't need outside ideologies. There's nothing wrong with learning socialism or with learning nationalism or other ideologies, but we don't really need them, because that idea of equality or the idea of nationalism or any ism that you have really is found essentially already in the Torah. And the Torah gives you exactly the right minun, the right amount, how to merge, how to bridge, truly bridge, essentially bridge, the body and the soul, the wick and the flame. Ki chilyotav ta'alozna mesharim ve'ur tzadikim yismach. Rav Kook finishes off with a pasuk in Mishlei, the book of Proverbs 13:9, that the light of tzaddikim brings gladness. That's the light that we're talking about.